Well, it is a great joy and privilege to minister the Word of God to you today. I have to say, this is not exactly the reception I was expecting. I come back to my former church and no one shows up. It's an empty church building. I have to say, I miss seeing the adults here. I particularly miss seeing you children. I was looking forward to seeing you. I was looking forward to getting my pre-service hugs and also to reading your sermon notes after the service today. But we trust this is too in God's providence. He is the God who's in control of all things. This morning, we turn to God's Word as it's found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse 11 and then read through the end of this chapter. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11, what we hear now is God's Word. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Here we are in the reading of God's holy word. Well, while it is a joy to return and to preach for you today, it is also a bit of a challenge. This is not simply a regular pulpit supply. I can't reach into my barrel of sermons and pull something out. You have heard pretty much everything I have preached. In fact, if you ask Micah Scouten, he will tell you that is why I left. I had preached all my sermons and didn't want to make any new. I can neither confirm nor deny Micah's assertion. I will let you know that the text I have chosen for this morning, I have not preached here before, nor have I preached in any church while serving them. The second half of Ephesians chapter 2. During the 8.5 years I spent here, I preached the first half of Ephesians 2, this is my confession, preached the first half of Ephesians 2 at least 3 different times. But it's a beautiful text, a wonderful text, culminating in those words, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." The heart of the gospel. The glory of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And now, this morning, we're going on to the second half of that chapter, equally as beautiful, as it describes the nature of being a part of the church of God, reminding us that the church is not just a building. We talk children about going to church, meaning coming to the building. The church is not just a building, but the church is the people of God. As Paul describes at the end of this chapter, it is the dwelling place for God. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It is that glorious truth we look at this morning, what it means to be the dwelling place of God. Paul begins by encouraging them to remember. Remember who they formerly were. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. He is speaking to Gentiles, and he is reminding them where they came from. There was a lot of division between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews looked down on the Gentiles. They called them the uncircumcision, a derogatory term. To be circumcised was to be clean. They were the uncircumcision, the unclean. They were alienated from the people of Israel. One commentator notes that the Jews believed that the Gentiles were created by God to be the fuel of the fires of hell. That was the purpose for the Gentiles. They were to keep hell hot, and they were to keep hell full. That's the nature of the animosity, the division. If there was ever an intermarriage between a Jew and a Gentile, the Jewish family would actually hold a funeral for the person getting married. They were dead to them. So deep was the division. Paul says, remember, you Gentiles, remember who you were, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and separated from Christ himself. The Gentiles separated from God. And that separation was seen even in the structure of the temple. In Herod's temple, there was a raised portion where there were different levels of intimacy with God. There was the court of the priests, where only the priest could go, very close to God. Then there was a court outside of that, the court for the men of Israel, a little bit more distinct. And outside of that yet, on that raised area, there was the court of the women. They could even have some type of access to God, but in a more distant way. Then, below that raised portion, we might say in the basement, was the only place the Gentiles could go. No access, immediate access to God. It was as if, children, the sign on the wall didn't say, trespassers keep out. It would say, trespassers will be killed. That was the nature of the division between Jew and Gentile, between God and Gentile. Paul says they were strangers to the covenants of promise, strangers to the promise of a Messiah to come and redeem his people. In the harshest sense of the word, they were outsiders, absolute outsiders. Paul says, end of verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope and no God. No knowledge of his saving work. They were hopeless. They were godless. This was their state. And as Paul reminds the Gentiles who they were outside of Christ, we see a picture of who we were outside of Christ. we were those who were without a knowledge of God's saving work. We were those who were excluded in and of ourselves. We were those who were outside, without hope, without God. This was our desperate condition that Paul reminds us of. We who are Gentiles, the uncircumcised, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is our condition, left to ourselves. But Paul goes on in verse 13. After describing that desperate condition, reminding them who they formerly were, he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." But now, a change has happened. You who were once far off are now brought near. You who were once alienated now have fellowship. You who were once excluded now welcomed. Welcomed into the presence of God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He goes on, verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Paul says, we are now brought together. We have been made one, both Jew and Gentile. The dividing wall of hostility gone. There is one people of God, one chosen people, not two different folks, but one group who have now been brought together through Jesus Christ. One confession of the Messiah. They were reconciled to each other. And that is God's intention for the church. That we be one. That we be one in heart, one in confession of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our peace. They were reconciled to each other. He says, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, and so making peace. Bringing together one new man. Abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Abolishing that ceremonial law that divided Jew and Gentile, clean and unclean. Now being brought together. Making peace with each other. And beyond being brought together as Jew and Gentile, being at peace. They were reconciled. That they might be at peace with God. Verse 16. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. The glory of the gospel is not just that Jew and Gentile were brought together in Jesus Christ, but God and man were brought together. The holy, righteous, perfect God. The God whose eyes are too pure to look upon sin is now reconciled to a fallen, sinful man in Jesus Christ. He has brought us together in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility, the enmity between God and man has been taken away. And how was that done? Through the cross. Through Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice, the blood that he shed. It is throughout the Old Testament we see the picture of blood being shed to make reconciliation between God and man. All the sacrifices, all the ceremonies, the blood of goats and lambs and bulls and blood shed again and again and again as a picture, as a pointer to the blood that would be shed. To the Lamb of God, who would be the sacrifice for the sins of each and every one of his people. He says, and verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Peace with God. No longer at enmity. Because of the sacrifice for our sin, we are now made at one. An atonement was made that we could be reconciled, the unholy man to a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. This gospel of reconciliation was preached and is to be preached. It is a glorious truth. It is a wonderful thing to be reconciled to a holy God. But we don't keep that glorious truth to ourselves. It is a truth that is meant to be shared and to be shared with all those around us. It is that same truth that is shared from this pulpit this morning. The call of the gospel. The call to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him and know the reconciliation. Know the peace of God. That's the call of the gospel that goes out again today. Be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and know true peace. Peace in your relationship with God and peace in your relationship with those around you. It is a glorious truth. It is a gospel to be shared. To be shared by us. To be shared by us with our co-workers, with our classmates, with our family members. That all of God's people might be brought in. He says in verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We now, through Jesus Christ, have access to the Father. The dividing walls, the barriers, the bars broken down. We are made at peace with God. Paul says, remember who you once were, but now who you are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, and there are blessings. There are blessings to knowing what Jesus Christ has done for you. And he's going to list some of those blessings for us in the last part of this chapter, verse 19. So then, because of all this, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. Being brought in by Christ, being reconciled to God, you are now fellow citizens with the saints in his kingdom. The significance of citizenship at this time is somewhat lost upon us today. There were huge benefits to being a citizen. There were protections for being a citizen. When Paul says, you are citizens, it is as if their eyes would light up. We are brought in. We are part of the kingdom. We are not foreigners any longer. But all the rights, all the privileges, all the blessings of being a citizen is given to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then as glorious as that would be, Paul says, you are no longer aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Not just citizens of the kingdom. Beyond that, You are part of the family. You are brought in to the household of God, the blessings of belonging. You are God's sons. You are God's daughters. You are his children. And as such, you are brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's that reconciliation to God and reconciliation to each other. The benefits of belonging, the blessings of belonging. Citizens of the kingdom, members of the household. That household, he says, verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. This citizenship, this household relationship, built on a foundation, the foundation of the testimony of God through the apostles and prophets, but the key to that testimony, the cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. This is what brings this church fellowship together. A common confession of Christ. A common confession that, yes, we were those Gentiles outside, left out, far away, but Christ brought us in. Not a particular family that we knew, not because we were friends with so-and-so, not because of our social class, not because of our economic class. We are brought together by a common confession of Jesus Christ, the King and head of his church, that chief cornerstone upon which the church is founded. He says, in him, the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Growing into a holy temple, being joined together. The idea is of some ongoing progress. We are continually joined together. We continue to grow into that holy temple in the Lord he has called us to be. God continues to work in our lives to draw us closer to him and closer to each other. This is the confession of being in that fellowship of God, that he continues to work upon us, continues to draw us closer to him and closer to one another. And he concludes, verse 22, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You are being built together into a dwelling place for God. That is the church. It is the place where God, in a particular way, dwells. Now, we know that God rules over all creation. He is God over all the world, but in a particular way, he dwells in the church with his people. We are the dwelling place of God. You, his people. You, his chosen. You, citizens of his kingdom. You, part of his family. You, the messengers of this glorious truth. The dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I know many of us are frustrated that we cannot come to church. We cannot gather together for worship. But we must not forget, just because we cannot come to church does not mean we cease to be the church. We continue to be those who are called by God, saved by Jesus Christ, brought into a relationship with him, and called to reach out to others in Christ's name. And perhaps even now in a more particular way, to reach out to those who are unsure about what's going on around us in society, to be a calming influence, because we can remind them that God is still in control. God is still in charge, and that same God is still calling all of his own into fellowship with him. It's in times of difficulty It's in times of tragedy that the soil is ripe for the preaching of the gospel. And that task given to us as a church, that all of God's people might be brought in, reconciled to Him and reconciled to each other. Oh, it's a beautiful text Paul gives us. The first half of the text reminding us what God has done. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. So what does that mean? Remember, we were outside. Remember, we were foreigners. But now, in Christ, we have been brought in. And having been brought in, God continues to work within us. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Oh, may God help us to rejoice that He, in His love and mercy, have brought us in to be a part of His glorious church, the place where He dwells. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we are humbled by the truth of the gospel, that You have chosen a people for Your very own, and by grace You have saved us, not because of anything in us, not because of anything we have done. It's a gift from You, O God. And yet, having been saved, You call us to continue to grow and develop. Paul has reminded us where we were. He has reminded us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And He has reminded us that we have the obligation to continue to share this glorious truth, to continue to grow closer to You by the power of Your Spirit and closer to one another. Oh, Lord God, so work within us that we might take great joy in knowing that we are a part of Your church, the dwelling place for You by the power of Your Spirit. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.